Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I have a really fun guest for us today. You guys may have seen my guest at the National Dog Show in Pennsylvania recently that was on Thanksgiving. Aaliyah Taylor was showing her Azawakh at the dog show, and I just love her story, and I love this breed that is brand new to the Hound Group starting in January of this year. And I think it's a breed that has a lot of misconceptions and a fascinating history. So I have asked Aaliyah to join us and tell us all about the Azawakh. So welcome, Aaliyah. How are you doing today?
Hi, how you doing?
It's early for me. Other than that, I'm good. So tell us, we like to call it the 411. What got you personally involved in purebred dogs, and what brought you to the Azawakh as your breed of choice?
I've always been a lover of animals ever since I was a little kid. I remember as a child bringing home injured animals. It's, you know, much to the chagrin
of our parents, usually, yes.
It's my mother used to breed and show boxers when I was a child.
Okay.
Yeah, and she had gotten me a little miniature schnauzer. And I was taking it to like mat shows and
right.
things like that. I even learned how to strip the dog.
Yes. Very
so
good.
Stripping is when you strip out the top layer of the coat.
Yes.
You know, in order to show like with a hard, short layer. If I learned to do that when I was 12.
Good job. You want a job? I'll hire you here. I got wire hair pointers.
And so, you know, my love of animals in general, it just started from a very young age. And in particular, purebred dogs.
Mm-hmm. And so you continued with that, I assume, with your family or on your own, certainly.
Yeah, I continued with that on my own. And so as the years went on and stuff, you know, life happened and stuff, and I moved away, got married and such. And then I decided to get a dog of my own. My first dog that I had in my house when I moved away, it was a standard poodle.
Okay.
And I learned how to groom the standard poodle, and I showed...
Man, you're covering all the bases. That's very good.
Yeah, I learned how to groom the standard poodle. And so, you know, in like that fancy continental clip.
Yes.
And I showed him in the UKC for a while before he died. Then after that, I had gotten a Borzoi. And I showed him for a while. And one day, I was online. And I saw this picture of this beautiful dog. I didn't know what it was. You know, it kind of looked like a Saluki to me, but it didn't quite look like a Saluki. So I went and I did some research, and I found out it was called an Azawakh. And I was like, oh, wow, this breed is like really, really interesting. And
right.
So I started searching around and stuff. I made a Facebook friend with somebody that lived in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
When he had a litter, and he had two puppies left. A brindle male and a fawn and white male.
Mm-hmm.
And he offered me a puppy, and I've never looked back.
And when was that? Because clearly just approved in 19, but I've only seen him even in miscellaneous for the last few years.
Yeah, I got my first Azawakh Tamur. Tamur is 7 years old. So I got him 7 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Basically. Yeah.
So definitely you've been involved from the beginning of the breed in this country.
Well, no, not really. The breed has been in this country since 1988.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, the breed has been in miscellaneous almost that long.
Wow.
Or it's just that, no one had the numbers. We didn't have the numbers. So we didn't have the numbers in order to get full recognition.
Well, and nobody was showing them. I mean, truly, I think I saw my first one in 2016. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, very cool.
Yeah.
And so, talk to us about the Azawakh, because it is a fascinating breed. So, give us a little bit of history and a little bit of background about them.
Okay, the Azawakh is a breed of dog from West Africa. It is also used as a sighthound, but they have been relegated to a secondary function of camp guardian.
Okay.
Camp guardian in the countries of Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger. They are named after the Ogowa Valley, so hence the name.
Right.
And so the nomadic groups that keep these dogs are the Tuareg, were the primary people. They're also called the Blue People.
The history of this breed is so interesting to me.
Yeah.
It is just fascinating.
Yeah.
And so the question I have, the camp guardian, and I see these dogs that are very aloof.
Very aloof is an understatement.
Yes. Yes. Even more so than most sighthounds that are just sort of like, get off me, I don't want to talk to you. And so the camp guardian role is what is creating that temperament. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, these guys are basically guard dogs. They may look exotic and thin and fragile, but it's nothing fragile about this breed at all. These guys are guard dogs. They will guard you and they will guard your property.
Interesting.
Yes.
And the standard for the Aswak is fascinating. They're literally, if I remember what I read, like a reverse rectangle. They are taller than they are long-bodied.
Yes. If you look at the animals in that region of the world, everything is long on the leg.
Right.
They're like way away from the ground and like tall off the ground. And so everything there doesn't have a whole lot of body fat.
Right.
The Aswak developed as an evolutionary thing. Man had nothing to do with how the Aswak looks.
And it just developed. And so why are they so tall? What's on the ground they don't want to be near?
The heat.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's good. That's good. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That also addresses the very dry, very lean body type that they have, right? Because the heat would just burn that fat off.
Right. Because if you're fat in the desert, you don't survive very long. You need to have as little body fat as
yeah, milk. I'd die.
I'd die.
Exactly.
I got like 10 times older because I'm fat.
I'm saying I'd drop dead the first day, man. Oh my God.
But the Aswak is one of the leanest, if not the leanest sighthound in the group. No one's done any body fat compositions on them, but I suspect their body fat would be, I would say, a good maybe 5-10%, maybe.
Wow. Yeah. And you see it. And I think this is part of, we were talking a little bit off air, that you must get 28 million times a day. Oh my God, it's so skinny. You're killing it, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's so skinny. Oh my God. The refuse. It's sick.
Yes.
No, it's not sick. He's supposed to look like this. This is what he does. This is what he's supposed to look like.
Right.
This dog eats more than I do.
Wow.
He just burns it off.
They eat well. They just don't carry body fat.
No, they just don't carry the body fat. They don't carry the body fat. They are physically unable to carry much body fat. And so not unless you purposely overfeed the dog.
Do they require a special diet or they just are that way no matter what you feed them?
They're just that way no matter what you feed them.
Interesting.
No matter what you feed them. Man, I wish I had a metabolism like that.
Girl, I'm saying a little research and bottle that, man. I'll be first in line.
I'd buy it.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God. Okay, so camp guardians, a little bit of sighthound, right? Like go chase down a bunny for dinner sort of thing, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I've read, and maybe you can expand on this because I think it's not always an easy concept, they are a land race. So it's what you said, they developed evolutionarily. Is that even a word?
Yeah. I mean, there was some selective breeding here and there, you know, the set type, but these dogs aren't mixed with any other type of hound or anything. These guys developed independently from other dogs in an isolated area.
Right. And there's different styles of them. Yes. From what I understand, like some different areas of the countries and the desert in which they developed.
Yes. In the more lush areas, you get the dogs that have bigger bone.
Okay.
It's a wider back skull and such.
Mm-hmm.
And in the drier areas, you get the dogs that are finer boned and more refined.
Okay.
You know, they're all Ozawa.
Right. And so I just am such a dog geek. This all just totally fascinates me. So in a breeding program here in the U.S., we're, you know, trying to, as you say, set that type and build that look. Does there seem to be a preference within the Ozawak community for one or the other style, the heavier or the lighter bone dog, anything like that?
I mean, there are preferences within groups of individuals who like the heavier style bone dogs. Me personally, you need the more rustic dogs in order to perpetuate what people want, that really refined look. Because refined look, you know, once you get too refined, well, the dogs can't do their jobs anymore.
Right.
I mean, like, you get dogs that are too thin and bone and stuff, and they start reducing in size and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that. You know, so I'm all for a happy medium.
Right. Okay. Right.
You know, because I have rustic dogs here, and I also have very refined dogs here, because I have desert bred dogs here, and also have the more refined European type here also. So
hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. Yeah, I know, I promised I was never going to sing again. But I'm saying, our new audiobook is available now. Whoop! Yeah! Pure Dog Talks, How to Stack Your Dog and Other Important Talks, is a 2-CD set featuring early mentoring episodes from the podcast, tips, and previously unrecorded pep talks. This is a power-packed opportunity for folks who don't want to search our exhaustive 260-some-odd episode library for just the topic they're looking for. This 2-hour series is a great resource for breeders and mentors, 4-H leaders, anybody that's looking for a straight-line trajectory from what kind of dog should I get to raising a show dog, how to stack and move with your dog, to counting championship points for your new dog. Super easy to purchase. Just drop PayPal $25 a book to Laura at puredogtalk.com and make sure audiobook is in the comments and that your mailing address is included, because shipping is free. That's on me. And I'll have it to you in just a few days. Breeder and mentor bundles are available. I'll give you a 10% discount on 5 or more. And this is a very limited print run. So get your order in today. May not be here tomorrow. And so one of the things that I've noticed when I've seen the Ozawaks in the ring, we were talking about the Camp Guardian and very aloof. How much of a struggle is it for, I mean, so when someone wants to buy an Ozawak and show it and the Ozawak says, nobody's touching me.
You have to constantly train these guys. I have one here that I've just recently shown at the National Dog Show.
Mm-hmm.
That was his first big show, and you have to know how to approach these guys.
Right.
Because he was not having any of the examination that day.
What is your advice to the judges? So when, you know, your club does judges education and stuff, how do you advise judges examine the breed? What's the best way to approach them?
Never approach them head on. I mean, that's with any sighthound. Never approach a sighthound head on, you know, because of the temperament of these dogs. You never approach any dog just head on anyway, but particularly sighthounds. You approach on an angle or the side. You keep a very calm body demeanor, and you walk slowly up to the dog. I recommend that you put your hand on the dog's shoulder. Reassure it a little bit.
Interesting. Rather than going straight to the head.
Right. Never go straight to the head of a dog. And then, on the then do the examination. You never come at it just head on. Just come at it on an angle. Don't look at the dog directly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because these dogs are guardians. They are guard dogs. And they take any direct eye contact as a challenge.
Right.
And you don't want that. Plus, on top of that, these dogs are still pretty primitive. They're still pretty semi-feral for the most part.
Right.
You know, so you have to approach them cautiously.
But without fear. I mean, based on my experience with guard dogs, you don't want to be afraid, because then the dog senses there's a problem and you've really got a problem.
Right. calm, confident, not rushing towards the dog, no really fast hand movements and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I do have an Ozwalk here that is like very friendly. And so it's not called an anti-walk. Because she was
anti-walk. That is fabulous.
She is the anti-walk.
Oh,
she's
my
like,
God.
Hi, how are you? Pet me, love me. Oh, my God. You know, but she's like the exception to the rule.
That is so funny. Oh, my God. So, okay. So, we, you know, we cover history and in the ring. How are they to live with? I mean, who should own... Right? If you're seeking new owners, it's a breed that doesn't have a lot of numbers. Who should own one of these and who should definitely not own an Ozwalk?
Okay. A first-time dog owner that has never dealt with primitive breeds should not own one of these dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They are one of the more difficult dogs to own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of their temperament. They are not golden retrievers. They will not be friendly to everyone. They will not be friendly to all the people that live in your house.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they pick and choose who they like, and that's it.
Mm.
I've never had one attack anyone,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they would be very wary. I have one here that's very wary of my son and always has been. He's never really liked my son. He will take food from him, but he won't let him pet him. He'll run.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. So definitely, definitely, definitely a challenging breed. And how are they to train? Are they just like, I don't care, you can't make me, or, I mean?
These guys are highly trainable.
Oh?
These guys, I know an owner of an Ozwalk that has an alphabet soup behind the dog's name.
Mm.
This dog has all sorts of titles. She has fly ball, barn hunt, scent work, coursing, straight racing, obedience, rally. These dogs are highly trainable. You can basically teach them to do almost anything. It's just that you have to get their trust.
Okay.
You basically have to treat them as an equal, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're not like other dogs in the sense that, okay, you sit and you do what I say.
Right. You don't give them a command. You give them a request.
Right. Right, exactly.
And they'll take it into consideration.
Consideration. And if they like you enough, they'll do it. This is also one of the only sighthounds that I've found that are very reliable off-leash because they are so bonded to you also. So
right. Fascinating.
You can have these guys off-leash and they will not stray far away from you.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And so going forward, are you yourself going to actually be breeding or have you been breeding Ozwalk yourself?
I bred my first litter back in 2016.
Okay.
I bred my half-death bred male with a female that was gifted to me.
Mm.
And from there, I kept a puppy and then I bred her to a dog that I had gotten overseas.
Mm.
Those puppies were born in 2018.
Right. And so how are they to breed? Do they breed naturally and whelp naturally and have a million puppies, or are they more difficult?
They breed naturally. These guys are pretty much free whelpers. It's no problem. You know, the wild dog behavior in these guys comes out really strong.
Mm.
I had both my females here eat a whole crap load of food. They regurgitate food for the 3 or 4 week old puppies.
Right.
They like to dig dens, so I had to keep an eye out.
That they weren't having the puppies under the porch, yes.
Right.
And I imagine they're very protective of their puppies. I mean, based on breeds I know that are more guardy dogs, were they difficult to work with the bitches with their puppies or no?
No, not at all.
Mm.
It's not at all.
Good.
You know, because the bitches that I have are very, very trusting.
Mm-hmm.
When a dog trusts you, you can basically do anything. I mean, I sat in a whelping box many a day and handled puppies and stuff. But
you
know, after a while, my females are like, okay, well, give me back my puppy. And they're going to take the puppy from my hand and put it back.
That's funny. How are they numbers? I mean, worldwide, are they particularly threatened or they're pretty stable in terms of the population?
numbers worldwide, there are obviously more Ozawa overseas and in Europe than there are in the States. I think of maybe about 350.
In the States?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, in the States. I'd say the numbers are anywhere from 1,500 maybe to 3,000, maybe.
Wow. So, yes, very threatened numerically.
And
right?
I'm being generous with that number.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, like cheetahs, like a lot of things. Wow. Okay. So I love this story, and I love this breed from afar. But I thought the listeners should hear a little bit more about you. And my understanding is you're a police officer. Is that correct?
I am a retired Philadelphia police officer. I was on the force for almost 19 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And so you kind of show dogs around police work. I mean, that's, I know a lot of people in this sport, and that's one of the things I would say the lower end of people involved in the sport that are in law enforcement.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I would schedule my vacations
right
around right. dog shows.
Right. Right. And hope there was no emergency.
Yes. You know, hope there was nothing going on. That
right.
Okay, Taylor, you have to work. Now I'm like, oh, crap. But, yeah.
Oh, my God. That is fabulous. Well, I just love the story, and I appreciate your time. And I appreciate your enthusiasm for this breed that is clearly in need of people. So anybody out there that wants to learn more about this absolutely fascinating breed, we will have some links to the National Club and some photos and all the rest of it. So.
Alrighty. It was great talking to you.
Great to talk to you too, Aaliyah. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
And I look forward to seeing more of this absolutely exotic and beautiful breed.
Thank you.
All right. You have a great day.
You too.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.